In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. It's clear that Americans have more labor-saving devices than any other nation or culture. And with all that labor-saving, all the labor-saving devices that we own, all the appliances, all the instruments, all the tools that we have, it ultimately should free up more time for us, shouldn't it? And yet, in practice, I think all of us recognize it does not. But in fact, even though as a nation and culture we have all these labor-saving devices, it's also true as a nation and as a culture that we are the busiest of all humanity. How truly ironic the situation has become. Perhaps the busiest time of year is the season in which we find ourselves. Because on top of all of the other obligations of life that we find ourselves in the midst of, we have all these added dimensions of the for us. We get caught up in the holiday shopping. Our work climate or school climate intensifies because we have year-end deadlines that we have to meet. There are work parties, there are school pageants, there are social obligations. If our family is a distance from us, we might even throw travel plans in the mix. And all of that creates a climate of busyness that is above and beyond what it normally is. It's a busy season with obligations. And sadly, the most important aspects of the season are often overlooked. It's not just true for those individuals out there in the world, but it's often true for us within the context of the church. We forget what really this season is all about and what our life is all about, and we get caught up in all the busyness of life and forget the things that are most important. And the church is constantly reminding us all through this season what our focus should be, that we are in fact making a spiritual journey, a pilgrimage of sorts to Bethlehem, seeking the babe that is born in a cave and laid in a manger. The child that is born of Mary means everything to us, for he is the Messiah, the anointed one, the prophet of all prophets that has been foretold by prophets of eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is our Savior who comes to save us. He is our Redeemer who comes to purchase us with his own blood. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. For he is indeed our incarnate Lord and God, who has come in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. And like the shepherds of old that greeted Christ on that first night of his birth, these things have been made known to us. We know these things. God has made these things known to us. That is their word to each other. And it is the context of our life. God has made these things known to us. And like the Magi of old, we are to seek his star in the east. We have seen his star in the east, and we too must come to worship him. We too must prepare to meet the Lord gloriously born on earth. We too must make that journey to Bethlehem to worship the newborn king. In other words, we have to take the time. We have to give Christ the proper priority, the proper focus. We have to give Christ and the focus that he truly deserves in our lives. It's not just for this season, but it's all of our life. But ultimately, if we can't do it in this season, when will we focus and give Christ what he truly deserves? The church designates this season as a time of prayer and fasting. It's a time for us to slow down our pace of life, to focus on the things that really matter in this life. It's time to step back from the customary busyness and ultimately to simplify the things of our life. It's time to look to a manger and prepare to greet our Savior, Christ the Lord. But how can we greet Christ properly? What can we offer? What can we do to honor the one who comes to be born on earth? It's often true that when we have an important guest come to visit us, it's true in various contexts. It could be a speaker, it could be some business associate. In their hotel room, we greet them with a fruit basket, right? Just today, that a greeting for Christ is a fruit basket. But not just a fruit basket that you find in a hotel room, the fruit basket that the Apostle Paul writes about in the epistle text today. He writes to the Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. These fruits of the Spirit are Christian virtues. They are virtues that all of us must strive to possess. You know, if we step back and we think about it, it's probably true for most of us that we don't need any of the gifts that we may receive this year. You know, it's really true. It might be a nice gesture from somebody that we care about. But ultimately, do we need the things that we receive? Probably not. We don't need another new shirt or a pair of socks, customary. But what we do absolutely need is we need the fruits of the Spirit in our life. These virtues are valuable to us, and these virtues are valuable to others. These virtues are valuable to us because they are what makes life worth living. It's what makes life meaningful and rich. Not in rich in the sense of the worldly sense of gaining worldly possessions, but it makes our life rich and meaningful and abundant in the things that really matter. And they are also likewise valuable to others because others receive grace from the fruits of the Spirit that are in our lives. As they observe, as they encounter those fruits in our life, they benefit. So they're valuable to us and they're valuable to others. Whenever our kids have asked Maria what she wants for her birthday or for Christmas, she has always for a number of years, she's rattled off a standard answer. And it's the same, she says something like this, the same thing I want every year, 3 obedient children. And you stop and think about that. Isn't that probably the greatest gift a parent could receive is obedient children? That's what, if a child is to offer their obedience to their parent, I mean, what greater gift could they offer, right? It's better than anything. And in that same manner, in this context in which we live, what greater gift can we offer Christ than a virtuous life? What greater gift can we offer Christ than our own obedience to Him? What greater thing could we offer to Him than the fruits of the Spirit that we have acquired in our lives? How do we attain the fruits of the Spirit in our life? Well, it certainly starts by taking the time, by putting in the time of prayer, by logging in our hours in the Scripture, by truly making Christ the Lord of our life, trying to make Him the priority that is above all, living a life of repentance and doing the work of repentance in our lives. You know, since we're speaking of fruit, if we're going to look at the world of agriculture and what do farmers do to make Christ, they don't make trees produce fruit. The plants do that all on their own. But there is no farmer that will not do everything in their power to make sure that those trees and those crops have everything they need to produce the crop or to produce the fruit that they are to produce. They do everything in their power to produce a successful harvest, to make sure that the plant can do what it's supposed to do. So they plant, they water, they fertilize, they weed, they prune. They do all that they can do. And then the plant does what it does. It produces fruit. And the spiritual life is much like that. After all, the fruit in our life is not ultimately from us. We don't produce it. It's from God. They are fruits of the Spirit, meaning they come from God Himself. God produces the growth in us. The growth is from God. But we have to cultivate. We have to take the time. We have to give the energy and the priority to create a climate in our life in which fruitfulness can develop. We have to create that atmosphere where spiritual life blossoms and we can produce fruit. You know, we can water, we can give it that atmosphere, producing the growth, or we can let it dry up. We really have to do what is in our power to make certain that the fruit that comes from God can be produced and sustained in our lives. See, don't let this season become just another busy chapter of our life. Don't let this holy time pass you by. Rather, take the time to value what really matters. Focus on Christ and give Him the attention that He deserves. Make the journey to Bethlehem a priority in your life. Offer Christ your prayer, your fasting. Make an offering to the less fortunate, giving alms. Don't let busyness of life overtake you, but rather let us slow down the pace of life. Let us create time to focus on the coming birth of our Lord and Savior. Let us create an atmosphere in our life where the fruits of the Spirit can be cultivated. Don't let time be taken from you, but rather take the time for yourself. Take the time to focus on Christ. Focus on what matters most in this life, offering Him a life of virtue, offering a collection of the fruits of the Spirit. Focus on the meaning of Christ's holy birth in Bethlehem, and let us journey to Christ with hearts prepared to worship Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.